Well, loosen your tie, take your coat off, and get comfortable or whatever. It is a warm evening for so early in the year. But hallelujah, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Open your Bibles to the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and let's take a moment to look to the Lord in prayer as we begin consideration of His Word. Heavenly Father, we now come to Thee, or to that time of this evening hour when we meditate upon your word. And we're keenly aware tonight, Lord, that we have nothing to give that would profit anyone anything, so far as any physical worked-up presentation might be. But alone as dependent, we are dependent upon thy Spirit to be our teacher. So use this vessel, Father God, for thy glory as we would look into your word. May you speak to our hearts, pastor and people alike. May we awaken to the wonder and beauty of the relationship that is ours in Christ, the continual call of God toward us unto holiness and relationship to thee through Christ, that he might be our all in all. Lovest thou me more than these, O Father God. Help us to meditate with hearts open, ready to give attention to what thy Spirit saith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, our subject was grading the sheep, and we went back into a parable of the Gospels as we think of the sower went forth to sow, and we saw those four various classifications of that which sprang up, or the first one did not spring up, for the devil caught it away, lest they might be saved. And then we saw three classifications of those where life became a reality. And as I think about that passage and many others, and we become conscious of this business of salvation, and we think of the reality of eternal life, that when a man is saved, he is not saved for a day, but he's saved for time and eternity. There's great encouragement in that, even though sometimes we despair as we think of some falling by the wayside, and we see their lives after salvation seemingly no evidence of it. And yet I am not to judge, nor are you. For what God has wrought in the heart is known only to God. And while we desire so very much to see the works that accompany salvation, sometimes the works disappear and the falling away is experienced. And yet we need to be very, very careful about judging such a one. We need to not judge, but to pray. And as we pray, that God might be merciful and that such a person might once again repent and come to a place of the evidence of salvation, the works that accompany faith. Then we saw some variants of advance in the faith. We saw an area that wasn't very pleasant to behold, for it includes so many of us. And yet we saw the good ground and that which God really wants, and we were reminded to break up the fallow ground and do a job concerning this business of being what God wants us to be. Now it interests me, as I think of our Lord's post-resurrection ministry, and he, just before he returned back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, gathering the believers together, the disciples again, he speaks to them. Peter comes into focus, and rather particularly. But let's pick up the reading at the 12th verse of the 21st chapter of John. We have these words. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lamb. And he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now there has been a play upon words here in the Scofield Notes and others, and I'm sure that this is scholastically correct as we think of the Lord's word for love and Peter's word for love. But I wonder if that is the primary thrust of this passage. For what the Lord said when he said, Lovest thou me, he used a Greek word, and I don't know anything about work, but about Greek, but this word is pronounced agapo. But Peter, remembering his three denials of the Lord and aware of his own weakness, does not dare to reply in as strong a word as agapo. Instead, he employs phileto in his reply, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And this he continues to do. Now that's interesting and certainly bears consideration. But I wonder if that's where it really lies, as so far as the Lord's thrust to Peter on behalf of, Do you love me, Peter, more than these? And of course we have the feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And we are reminded that they are the Lord's sheep, that we have a responsibility as believers, as shepherds. I think of a pastor, I think of Christian leadership. And yet, perhaps also in the realm of all of us, we have a responsibility one toward another to be edifying one unto the other, to pray for and to minister unto the need. But notice now with me as we look again at the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And I ask you this evening, what do you think the Lord is speaking of when he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now that can involve a great deal. Speculation can go a long way. Do you love me more than these, Peter? Was it his fishing? They just caught a very large net of fish. Was it the other apostles? Was it the self-life? What was it? Peter, do you love me more than these? Well, I think the Lord, and he does this so frequently in Scripture, the Lord God, leaves us with a bit of a dilemma or mystery in the realm of putting our finger on the interpretation to say, this is what it means. I believe we have here that which fits all of us. As God deals with us, his Spirit strikes conviction in our hearts, and the still small voice of the Spirit says, John, Mary, do you love me more than that thing? Do you love me more than this? More than husband? More than wife? More than that child? And you know, even as do I, where your love is largest. Now, love is a beautiful thing. Certainly God meant for a husband to love a wife even as his own flesh, and for a wife to love her husband in like fashion. And we certainly know that we ought to love our children. And yet our love moves out in the realm of the things of the world, we were reminded this morning. And we find that we are so attracted to things that are so distracting to the person of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Lovest thou me more than these? And I believe with all of my heart, because of this lack of love, or perhaps understanding of what God wants in the realm of our love. I'm not sure that that's a correct interpretation, for it seems to me we ought to understand that, and yet I do not underestimate the power of Satan to cause us not to understand. Or he's very subtle and very able to do that. Sometimes we're attracted to that which seems very innocent. But that which seems very innocent can be a terrible distraction to what God wants of us, wants to do in us and through us. And when our Lord said to Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Certainly he could have addressed any one of us here this evening, and we would have come under the piercing conviction of how much we really love him, or how little we really love him, and how much we love other things when he deserves all of our love. Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And so we wrestle in our hearts and minds as the Spirit of God does the work that he is so very able of doing. And our thoughts move hither and yon, and we cover the ground of the place where our attention and affection has been, perhaps continues to be. But the spirit of conviction comes and says, do I love that more than the Lord Jesus? Does he have first place in my love? Could I give this up for him if he wanted me to and still love him? It's a good question. It's an important question. For in the answer of that question, we have the answer to whether or not you will be a worthwhile vessel. We think of the grating of the sheep, a fruitful lamb in God's flock, a reproductive lamb, one that is able to minister unto the heart's needs of others. I have shared with you, but for want of illustration, I'll do it again. Back in our first pastorate, and please forgive me if I hold myself up as any kind of an example, because I am a lousy example. I know too much about the love of the flesh, the things of the world, and the treachery of the evil one. But I think of those days when our son, who was then only 2 years old, our only son, came down with a disease that could not be explained by medical science. Progressed along to the point to where we were frightened. Leukemia struck our hearts with dread reality. We came to the place, because God was at work and we were given to him, that he gave him to us, and he had a right to take him away. And we committed him to the Lord and said, Lord, he's yours. If you want him, we'll freely give him back to you. We'll go on for you, for your glory. And that was a turning point. That young lad got better and was never again afflicted with that condition. No real explanation from medical science, but God did what God is able to do. Now, beloved, it's important, isn't it? Do you love him more than that thing in your life? More than that person? More than anything? Now, he saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Then we have it again. Lovest thou me? A second time. He said, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And a third time, Peter becoming a bit disturbed with the whole thing. Now, I think it's important. First of all, he uses the word lamb. Now, lamb is newborn. It needs much attention. It needs to be fed the milk. It needs tender, loving care. And they need very special attention. Now, if we are properly related to the Lord and we love him as we ought, we'll give very particular attention to seeing that the lambs are able to grow. We come into an area that's so very important that evangelism is not the major thrust, important as it is. But that the new convert will be ministered unto, and that he will grow, that he will not be, even as we were reminded this morning, like the seed cast upon stone, and with joy it was received, but it had no root, and when the testing came, it withered away. And beloved, there's a lot of folk outside of the church structure, of the local church structure of Jesus Christ, floundering around in the world of sin, the victims of the devil and all of his deceit, and yet they're saved because salvation is eternal. But why are they in that condition? Could it have been avoided? I think it could have. But you see, the responsibility rests upon the Church of Jesus Christ. What do we love, or whom do we love most? Lovest thou me more than these? Oh, if we truly love him, the lambs will be fed and become strong. They will be moved from the rock to the well-prepared ground. They will root deeply, and they will be reproductive and fruitful. We move from the lambs to the next question. The same question. But he says, lovest thou me? He says, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And we see something a bit more mature. You know, I am a pastor. I believe, and I have no reservations, that I am in the Lord's will. I believe he called me to pastor. How important it is to feed the sheep. To feed them a well-balanced diet. To introduce to them the nourishment, the vitamins, the realize the reality of the source of their strength, the person of the indwelt living Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit, awaken them to the wonderful reality that this is just not a body of flesh to be kicked around by the whims of the wicked one, but this is a body of flesh that's been redeemed by precious blood. That is, it is a purchased possession. It has eternal life. It has become a new creation. And Christ is the very essence of this life. That he is our powerhouse. And that we need not be bounced around with every wind of doctrine or every temptation of sin or all of the subtle devices of the wicked one. We need to awaken to the reality of our enemy. And not only awaken to the reality of our enemy, but we need to draw up short and take inventory as to how much infiltration he has made into my life. And awaken to the reality that this ought not to be. I can be delivered from this, set free from this, find the wonderful completeness of the person of Christ in victorious, full, complete Christian living. Again, the third time. Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And we are again reminded of the progression of this morning. Those that are saved, but no evidence of it. Those that are in the ark of safety, saved and seated oftentimes, many of them in the pews of our churches, right here, even as we're gathered, but encumbered with the things of this world and how they need to be freed from them. And the question cometh, lovest thou me more than these? And we need to feed them. And they need to be fed from the Word. And then the more mature one, the one who has progressed, but nonetheless is still very much in need of feeding. There is no time when we are fed enough and we can walk away and say, well, I'm all set now. I don't need any more feeding. I have arrived, quote unquote. Of course not. We need to daily seek the manna of God's Word. And we cannot store up manna for tomorrow today. We need to get it fresh for today. Now it's a warm evening, and I'm not going to keep you. But I want you to meditate upon this evening. When you leave here tonight, you let our Lord's voice ring in your ears and in your mind. And I pray God will awaken you in the night hours with that still, quiet voice of our Lord, and yet that voice of compassion and authority. Do you love me more than these? Do I really have first place in your life? It's a very necessary question. Think on it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for thy word. Oh God, do a work in our hearts. Do a work in my heart. Do a work in my heart, blessed God. Thank you for what you've been doing. See it through to completion. And I pray for these dear people tonight, Father. They've sat here being too warm, a bit uncomfortable. And yet they've given attention, good attention, to thy word. Spirit of God, minister unto them. I thank you for this dear people. Father God, there's been much evidence of right relationship to thee. And yet, Father, even as we stated it earlier, revival comes when those that are closest to God want to get closer. Oh, blessed Jesus, I cry out to thee. Let us experience it. Let us experience it, not because we merit it or are worthy of it, but because we need it. And we cry out to thee, be merciful, gracious to us. Let your word be effective in our hearts and our lives. Father God, as we take our leave of this place, may the words of our Lord, even as he spoke to Peter, ring in our hearts, in our heads, in our ears, in our minds. Lovest thou me more than these? May we not be able to rest until we settle the question. And then, Father God, we know that all will be well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to hymn number. I did not pick a hymn. Number 257. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 257. Shall we stand as we sing? So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I love Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. All four stanzas, a second. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus.
Thank you.